Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
All right. Well, we're going to study John 13, 1 to 17. This is the account of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples just before his arrest. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we look at your word, I pray it'll touch our hearts. Lord, you've been very gracious with us in our rebellion against you. In fact, you've loved us so very deeply that you came, humbled yourself in human form, and died a very painful death. And with that moment, you carried all the sins, all the rebellion against you, and paid it in full on the cross. And then on the third day, you rose again. And in your resurrection, you conquered the consequence of sin by giving us eternal life. Lord, I pray if you touch our hearts today that we will respond, enter into a new relationship with you or a renewed relationship with you. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So we're going to look at Jesus' final meal with his disciples, just before his crucifixion and resurrection, as Jesus prepared himself to endure his death, he stops and takes time to teach his disciples one more lesson about being a follower of him. Would that be the first thing on your mind? If you're preparing yourself to endure torture, thinking of others and how important it is to teach them one more thing so that their lives would be changed. Ooh. Ooh. Verse 1. And it was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. As we're approaching Jesus' death, we begin to see what he said in John 3:16 being lived out. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. His love for the world, for each of you, this love was driving Jesus all the way to the cross, all the way through torture. And he was thinking, he knew that this was going to happen within a few hours. Today we will see Jesus' love in action, his humble servant heart. His love is something that we can learn from, and something that we can live out as an example. Verse 2. The evening was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, we're clued in here and throughout before that Judas was someone who was part of what we would call today like a terrorist organization that was going to try and militarily push the Romans out. He was looking for a leader, someone who was going to, he could follow to go and destroy the Roman rule. But his heart was so filled with that, and he thought Jesus was going to be that person, but now he realized he wasn't. And so he went to his Jesus' enemies, those of the religious leaders who wanted to destroy Jesus, because in their minds, Jesus threatened them. Just think about that. Just think. Someone who had followed Jesus, listened to all his teaching, was so messed up in his heart. So messed up in his heart that he went to Jesus' enemies and just told them where Jesus would be so they can come and arrest him. But Jesus, as we see, continued to serve him. Now, the other disciples had learned a great deal about Jesus and were followers of him, but the culture at the time also taught that there would be a Messiah who would come, but the culture and the religious leaders taught that this Messiah would come and also bring a new kingdom. And everybody thought it would be like a kingdom that was in the Old Testament, like David, who would establish a political kingdom. And so they had argued because they knew they were going to Jerusalem, and Jesus had told them that he was going to Jerusalem to establish the kingdom. And they were thinking it was a political kingdom. And on the way, a chapter before, they were talking among themselves about what ranking they would have in this new kingdom. So none of them were willing to do what culturally they needed to do and wash somebody's feet. So when it was further, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and people praised him and thought he was going to be king, they were even more proud that they were ready. But verses 3 through 5, well, let's read that. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus voluntarily, as he was thinking and preparing himself for crucifixion, stopped and did what somebody else among the disciples should have humbled themselves to do. See, back then, it's not like they have sewage systems in which the roads wash clean, and they had carts with donkeys and things like that and horses, and you would dump your stuff out the window hoping it would rain and wash it all out. Your feet really were messed up by the end of the day, and you needed to have them washed. But no one would humble themselves, and Jesus, the King of the world, the Messiah, humbled himself to show his love for them. And it was such a sharp contrast to the self-seeking motivations that all the disciples had. What do you think of that? What can we learn from that? Verses 6 through 8. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, I can imagine that people are not in, they were fully engaged in their conversation. They had not even noticed that Jesus was doing it, that they thought it was just another servant because they sat down on their sides with their feet facing back. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, he realized that it was Jesus who was washing feet. And he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall not wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus is teaching two things here. One is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then be humble and serve others. The other part that he's teaching is that the symbol of washing the feet is in expressing the great love that Jesus has for you. And that in washing the feet, Jesus is saying, I'm going to wash your sins away in my death and resurrection. Saying, Peter, just pay attention to what's happening here. You'll understand later. You'll understand within the next 48 hours. Jesus' action is for you. Will you accept Jesus' washing of your sins? Will you tell others about how Jesus loves them so much that they can have freedom from the bondage of their sins? Verses 9 through 11. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. Peter keeps missing the point. If we go back through all before this, Peter often misses the point. And so he's still full to form here. But we see Peter's desire is still to follow Jesus, even though he didn't understand. See? We may not understand everything in the Bible, but if we have faith and trust, follow, and you will understand. Jesus is saying by the foot washing example that I'm the one who can only wash away your sins. Peter responded, well, wash all of me. Jesus is saying, it's only one time that your heart needs to be washed. Just one time. Your only action is to accept that. One of the disciples, of course, it's Judas, Christ offered to wash his heart. But Judas only accepted the outward washing of his feet. His heart remained unchanged. Why? Because he had rejected Christ and let Satan fill his heart and prevent him from understanding. We often, before we knew Christ, we allowed things to block our hearts from understanding. That's why the world rejects Jesus. Let's go on and see what happens next in 12 to 14. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand, Jesus says, what I've done for you? You called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Jesus was answering their heart issue that the disciples were facing. They wanted power and position in the new kingdom that Jesus was going to bring. But Jesus was teaching them, this is the whole big thing that he wanted them to understand, that it's not about power and position in a new kingdom, but hearts that are humble and servant-like. Hearts that focus on others to meet their needs. There's no need for elevation, for hierarchy in a kingdom like that, because you are taking care of each other. Someone's taking care of you. You're taking care of someone else. But focus is on other people, being self-sacrificing, your own needs, and others will be doing that for you. That's the motivation of the love that Jesus is giving us. Verses 15 to 17, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Foot washing was an example, a pattern of how one needs to be humble, humble on the inside and the outside. The inside and outside. In this new kingdom, no one is greater than another. Jesus tells them that his blessings come through being a servant. This is meeting others' needs, both physical and spiritual. Being obedient to Jesus' example of humility. So what actions do we take today as we reflect on our hearts? Is your heart one that's seeking power and position? Is your heart self-focused on what you can get out of Jesus and get out of others? Or is your heart humble and servant-like, always ready to meet the needs of other people? Love others just as Jesus loved you, sacrificing sacrificially showing Christ's love no matter where you are, what you're doing, whether it's at work, at home, whether it's on the road driving somewhere, whether it is to your friends at school, thinking of them first, showing them compassion, showing them your love, so that they see Jesus' reflection in you. So when your hearts are full of Jesus, Jesus' love, you're ready to wash other people's feet. You're a conduit of God's love for them. And it's easier because they ask, why are you doing this for me? And you can say, because of Jesus' love for me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you loved us so much that you just gave it all. You separated yourself from your Father at the moment you paid for our sins. The ultimate sacrifice. You transformed the world in that moment when you paid for our sins. Lord, in this action that we see in this scripture of your humble servanthood, Lord, I pray it'll be an example for us that we transform our lives to be like you in all that we do, all that we live. Lord, we pray these things in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.